Thank you, Joe, and thank you for having me again, congregation, the RP Church. It's been years that we have known each other and fellowship together over at our church at Lake Sherwood on occasion in a group setting and also here. And I appreciate your love for the Lord and your faithfulness to him. I'm going to be reading the scripture. You may turn there to Luke chapter 1:26-48. My sermon is entitled, The Mother of My Lord, words you will find recorded from the lips of Elizabeth as we read. The Word of God, Luke chapter 1:26-48. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. She was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel of the Lord said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and he shall be called, and you shall call him the name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How will this be, since I am a virgin? The angel answered her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the Lord, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greetings of Mary, the baby in her womb, that is Elizabeth's womb, leaped for joy. And Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit and exclaimed with a loud voice, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, the sound of your greetings came to my ear. The baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment or faithful fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. The text continues, but we'll stop at this point. This is God's word. I think Protestants shy away from honoring Mary because we know how she has been turned into an idol, quite literally into an idol, by the Roman Church. Contrary to Scripture, millions of people pray to Mary under the unbiblical notion that she could even hear them, or that she has a special power over Jesus, or some even elevate her to be a co-redemptor or co-redemptrix. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. But we Protestants err by not giving Mary, one of God's great servants, the honor that she is due. Let's review this text, the story of one named Elizabeth, who called Mary the mother of my Lord. First of all, Mary was a virgin. We look at verse 26, remind ourselves that the angel came and spoke to her and said, the scripture says she was a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. The word virgin means she was unmarried and had had no intimate relationships with a man. She was pure. And that gives us the assurance that the son she would bear would be not a man, not of a man. Mary was a virgin. Her age is unknown, but she may have been as young as 13. Back then, it was not uncommon for girls that age to become engaged and marry. They, of course, didn't live as long as we do. That may be part of it. And Mary was a virgin, innocent and pure. She was engaged, however, to Joseph, who also was described as a godly man. Mary was a virgin when she conceived Jesus. That is the point. She was a virgin when she conceived Jesus. But she did not remain a virgin, as if sex was a sinful thing or beneath a saint, but rather a God-created gift. Mary and Joseph had other children after the birth of Jesus. Virginity in marriage, by the way, is not good. Note she is to be honored for being a pure handmaiden for the Lord. But her virginity has a more important purpose than simply her purity. Point number two, Mary was favored. Point number one, Mary was a virgin. Now number two, Mary was favored. Back to verse 28. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." The Lord has selected her, and the Lord was with her, meaning grace was upon her. Now, if you are a Christian, the Lord is with you. He selected you. He has favor for you. He has a job for you, a purpose for you. Now, God's purpose for Mary is revealed in verse 31 to 33. Again, your Bibles. Verse 31, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Mary was favored to be that virgin that was foretold in Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 7, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." Mary was favored to be the mother of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, favored blessing by family, she was also that the family knew her blessing. You see in verses 41 and following, as she visits her, we think, cousin Elizabeth. In those days, Mary went to the country and to the town of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby in her womb leaped for joy. And Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. And it goes on, blessing Mary for being a believer and faithful. Now the word blessing is in Greek the word makaria. And years ago, when I first came across this Greek word, makaria, blessed, my wife and I chose it as the name of our first child. Makaria Sanders is a lovely word, means blessed. And verse 48b, Mary is to be extolled among all Christians. Today, our turn is to honor the Lord by blessing his earthly mother and calling her blessed. Point number three, Mary was troubled. Now, verse 29 gives us the first instance of her trouble. She was troubled by the appearance of the angel. Now, I don't know how many of you have seen an angel. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because some of you might think you had seen one. But to see an angel would certainly be a startling event, especially if that angel spoke with you and gave you a direct message from God, as he did with Mary. So the angel cause her to shy. But Gabriel, the angel, answered her puzzle with more information, verse 34. And that is, Mary's question is, how can it be that since I'm an angel? And the answer is, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born of you will be called Holy, the Son of God. Now, she knew herself to be a sinner, as she confesses in her Magnificat, verse 47. My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. So she readily knew that she was a sinner, but she also tried to comprehend this majestic opportunity to serve the Lord by birthing the Son of God. Favorite people are not exempt, however, from trials. You may and certainly are a favorite person if you love the Lord Jesus, but you are not exempt from trials, and neither was Mary, nor in fact all the servants in the scriptures, pretty much I can remember. Her suffering was serious in that she was able to see Christ's own sufferings. She was able to see Christ suffer and die, her own and firstborn child. Now we should stop and think of those we may know or pray about today who are suffering. And we should think about people who are Christians in places like China. We have regular reports that they are persecuted and jailed and highly pressured, and some have even been killed, the ministers of the gospel. It's also true in Iran, from the stories we heard, and probably other Muslim nations. For us, the sicknesses and the sufferings are not so bad, but we still find difficulties. Here's a small illustration, again, from my daughter, Linda. When she was in our home, she had to have a medical procedure. That medical procedure called for her to go through an MRI, MRI. That's what it is. And this one was, probably a long tube, not the short ones we have today. And she was frightened about being in an enclosed case like that and with all the sounds that she was exposed to. And so, in this time of wonder and sort of terror, she told me later, I kept singing to myself, oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. And I felt, as I felt the hot magnetic waves run over me, but I was comforted to know that Christ was with me. Mary was troubled, but she was also comforted by the Lord's presence, the Holy Spirit and the angel. Also, number four, Mary was reassured. In verse 30, Gabriel's word said, do not fear. And verse 35, God's plan said, look at verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So these comforting words were with her as she went through her ordeal. Now we know, of course, that for a girl to claim she's a virgin and pregnant would not meet with anyone's acceptance today. And her husband was certainly, or her fiancé was certainly troubled until the Lord revealed to him in Matthew chapter 1 the revelation of God's will. Do not be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. He will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So again, far from being conceived in fornication, Jesus was conceived in the purity of the Holy Spirit, acting supernaturally in Mary's body. Now there's another miracle here that I want you to take note of in verse 36. Your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, that would be the miracle in mind, has conceived a son in the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing is impossible with God. This affirmation in her cousin, whoever it was, her relation, gave Mary additional support of her weakened faith. And then verse 45, blessed is she who believed that which was fulfilled, would be fulfilled by the Lord in her. So her faith grew, and she was witnessing Jesus in the conception of her body, and then in his growth in time, and then she would one day witness not only his birth, his miraculous life, his death, but also his resurrection. Now, the point of virgin conception and birth of Jesus that does vindicate Mary as far as defending her own righteousness is concerned, for which we honor her, but a far more important point of her virgin conception of Jesus and virgin birth is that the miracle enabled the entrance of the Son of God into the world. Let me say that again for you children. If you understand the idea of virginity, you understand there's an important reason to safeguard her purity. But a far more important reason is to understand that the baby she conceived and bore was not just a baby, but was in fact the entrance of God into the world. Now, Mary, of course, was submissive. That's the fifth point, if you're taking notes. And that's in verse 38. Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And here I want to say to us that we certainly need to be ready to submit to God's ordination in our lives. All of us will suffer. We'll get old one day. I'm still waiting, but we'll get old someday. And we'll find different aches and pains and disabilities and loss of loved ones, as your congregation has been announced today, loss of loved one. And during these times of suffering, God calls us to be submissive to his providential will and to place our faith more in him. And we trust that God will give you grace for that today. Number six, our last major point, Mary was joyful. Joy follows faith and obedience. You want to have a life of joy? Follow the Lord, his word, in faithfulness and in obedience. Verse 46, once again, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his handmaid. For behold, from now on, all generations shall call me blessed. Our joy, her joy, was bringing God into the world. Our joy is bringing the world to God. We play a role, as she did in her day, also in our day. The purpose of the church includes nourishing the saints, primarily, first of all, but so that we can be a witness to our world and bring the gospel to them in all kinds of ways that we may. Simply inviting them to church would be a good start. It is right and biblical that we should love and respect Mary. She is a great model for us to emulate in terms of submission to God's will. Remember, who's the mother and who's God? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Don't come to God through Mary. That's unbiblical. It's not what she wants. Mary completed her task, birthing and grazing Jesus. Her work is done. But Jesus bore the wrath of God against our sins. Only he can save us. Jesus calls Mary blessed. but Jesus we call Lord. Honor Mary, but worship Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for Mary, and we do pay respect to her as we read the scripture, Elizabeth and all these saints who are part of their biblical history. And we also take note to emulate her, to follow her example. But our greatest call is to honor and worship Jesus, and through him, spread the gospel. Father, may your grace be upon this congregation in their efforts to do so, and in our lives, especially at this Christmas time. May we have occasion to share the Christmas story, the real story, with friends, family who don't know Christ. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.